Hi everyone and welcome to Money Control's brand new series, The Essential Guide to Studying Abroad. We're going to bring you an exciting array of videos, podcasts and stories where we give a definitive guide to young aspiring students as well as their parents on how best to prepare for foreign education. Joining me today are two very special guests, Srikant Bhagwat, who heads a wealth management firm, and his son, Sushen. Guys, welcome on board.
Hi, Karunya.
So Srikant, you're a parent and you're also a wealth manager by profession. So I'm sure you must have started planning very early for your kids' education, especially when you found out that they're interested in studying abroad.
Yeah, so Karunya, that was an advantage from my side that I was already advising clients on how to plan for their kids' education, right? So I actually started my systematic investment plan for Sushen when he was just hardly 5 years old. Okay, so I had a good runway right from 2000 to 2022 to accumulate the corpus required for his education.
But you know, you definitely had a head start compared to others. But if say parents who are wanting to send their kids abroad at maybe just with a time of 2-3 years, maybe you know, one's kid could be in college now doing his undergrad, and suddenly has developed interest in pursuing certain courses in a foreign university with 2-3 years of time horizon. How should they go about planning it financially?
So once you come to a short runway, like 3 years or 4 years or so, it becomes all the more difficult. So one has to see, it's going to cost about 1 to 1.5 crores to do a 2-year program in the US. Then you need to accumulate that much sum within 3 years. We cannot depend too much on investment return. One will have to go in for the safest option possible when you have a 3-year kind of time frame for a critical goal. So not more than a 5% kind of return one can factor in, which is nominal on a 3-year basis. So if 1.5 crores is a budget, you need to be able to accumulate 40 to 50 lakhs a year, okay, into your debt fund or bank account to ensure that you have the sum available. Ideally, one should start much earlier for such a program. So these are milestone events, right? So if not used for a foreign education, the fund is anyway there, the corpus is anyway there and can be used for any other purpose. The other way of doing it is if you have a short runway and you are not able to accumulate the required sum, is to go in for an education loan, which the student can repay once she or he gets a job after the education program.
Right. Srikant, planning finances is one thing, but right now we're witnessing massive inflation. Rupee has also significantly weakened against the US dollar. At times like this, what should one do in terms of planning their finances accordingly, especially right before going abroad to study?
So this spike in inflation has happened only during the last 1 year. These are things which one cannot do anything about. But when you're planning for the long term and making investments over 10 years, etc., then this 1 year spike in inflation really does not matter. What matters is what is the rate of inflation that you have been presuming in your plan. So we've been seeing that the education inflation in the US over the last 10 years plus, it's been around 3 to 4%. Okay. Add to that the depreciation that the rupee undergoes. So you need to have a break even of at least 8 to 10% on your investment for you to be able to match up to the inflation and depreciation. Okay. This is one thing that you should be looking. And given the sharp increasing living cost, one should be able to budget for a higher outflow over the course period. So you're looking at one should plan for a, say, 8 to 10% increase in living costs and maybe a 5 to 6% increase in tuition fees from last year to this year. Okay. Travel costs have also shot up. So this is going to be last minute stuff. And either you can plan for a margin of safety when you're doing your 10-year plan, 15-year plan, or ensure that you have enough money set aside for the next 2 years to incorporate this. Okay. No point in running around the last minute. Before the child goes to the college, have a margin of safety. Number two, one should be looking at how some of these expenses can be defrayed through teaching assignments, research assignments, part-time jobs by the child while in the university. That can take care of living expenses. Surely. So that is an option that should be on the table.
Sushin, I want to rope you into the conversation. What was your checklist when you started your applications, or even before starting your applications, maybe for shortlisting colleges and the right courses?
Yeah, so I think the most important thing was to identify the courses offered by these universities and also the course curriculum. So usually people look at rankings and then just go by rankings and say, okay, this is a good college, I should apply here. But I think that is a common mistake that most of the students do. And the main and most important thing is to go into the detail, see what courses are offered, look at the professors that are teaching these courses, and then base your decision on apply to these universities or not. The other factor that I looked in was the co-curricular activities. And I'm someone who enjoys a practical approach to the subject, and that can only be got from your co-curricular activities. So I gave a lot of importance and looked at what the co-curricular activities offered were and see the relevance. And most of these universities have a lot of clubs that take you on, they call it to various companies in or around the university. And you get to interact with a lot of CEOs and CTOs. And these are opportunities that you do not get very often. And I think should be looked at before applying to any particular university. So I think these were the main factors that I looked at before applying to these universities.
Another area I think, Karunya, is you want to figure out which part of the world do you want to study in. Say, do you want to go to Australia or Singapore or Europe or USA or Canada? All these areas have different structures, different cost implications. So it depends on what you want to be doing next after you finish your education to figure out which part of the world do you want to study in.
Are kids or parents also now looking at post course opportunities? Because some countries let you stay on for a couple of years to find a job, while some are the cases where you have to come right back if you don't have a job.
Yes, so I think it is an important factor to look at before applying. So in the US, there are MBA courses which are STEM, they call them STEM MBAs, which give you a 3-year OPT option where you get to work for 3 years post graduation. And there are some colleges which do not offer the STEM MBA. So you get to work only for a year. And if you look at countries like Canada or UK, I mean, maybe not UK, but Canada, where it is much easier to get a job and to work for maybe 2, 3 years and then apply for a PR. Whereas if in the UK or Australia, they're not very friendly and they ask you to leave as soon as you graduate.
Right. Sushin, what about your application checklist? Because typically you have to submit your test scores, your personal essay, and additional essays, if any. But how can you actually shine in those essays and the answers that you give for those questions?
So I think it's be true to yourself. And what they're looking for in an SOP is your life story. And how you can make your life story relevant to the course that you're applying to and how attractive you make it look. That is, you know, a major factor. And a lot of these universities look at how much research you've done about their universities. So they would like to know whether you've looked at the courses, the professors, the co-curricular activities, the extracurricular activities. And they also want to know what your post-graduation plans are and whether your experience so far is relevant to what you want to do post-graduation. And if not, how are you using these 2 years doing an MBA to achieve what you want to do post-graduation?
You know, typically a lot of students now do try to incorporate their interactions with faculty over emails, social media, and even alumni of different schools. How approachable are these guys over the internet, over the social media, LinkedIn, or any other platform? Have you tried to get in touch with anyone before finalizing your courses or applications?
Yes. So I actually reached out to a lot of alumni and not professors. So I reached out to a lot of alumni before applying to these universities, and they're very approachable. You can just send them a message on LinkedIn and you can get a response within 24 to 48 hours.
And would you say that was helpful? It was a good move contacting them? Would you recommend?
It was definitely helpful. Sorry, you were saying?
Would you recommend others also do this as a practice?
Yes. One should definitely reach out to alumni before applying, and preferably those in the course that you want to apply to. Mm-hmm. And try to understand how the course is structured, how the professors are. And these are definitely helpful when making a decision on whether you want to apply or not to a particular university.
Right. So overall, what was your experience like? How long did it take for you to do your research, select the colleges, apply and get through? Typically, I mean, how long does it take, the whole process?
So I think one should give themselves a 2 year period. And so let's say if I would want to apply to fall 2024, I should start preparing for my GMAT or GRE exams, and I should also prepare for my English exams, which are IELTS or TOEFL, right away. And then usually this preparation takes about 6 to 7 months, and you want to give yourself another 6 month buffer just in case you want to rewrite those exams after preparing for a second time. And I recommend that one also starts his or her research about these universities right away. And usually applications open a year before the course start date. So if I want to join the university for fall 2024, applications will start sometime in August 2023. And your round one deadlines would be anywhere between September to November, depending on the college you're applying to. So yes, I would definitely say give yourself a 2 year period, and that should be good enough.
Okay. Srikant, how about you, your experience as a parent with the whole process? I mean, how much were you also involved in the research, in the ideation? And of course, financial planning is all definitely been taken care of. But overall, what would be your big takeaways or lessons that you learned?
I think, Karunya, my involvement was limited beyond the financial planning part of it, as you said. I was involved in trying to figure out which part of the world should he go and study. So there we had a fair amount of discussion and what are the opportunities, and reaching out to the network in each country to find out what's going on there actually. Okay. And then once my son had shortlisted a few universities, we went through the curriculum together to see whether one had a better edge over another, or was there something relevant in the curriculum to his interest and to his plan for the future. So running through geographies, running through course curriculum, I was involved. I think that's it. That whether it was planning for his accommodation, etc., it was all his work.
I did not get involved then.
Okay, great, great. So Shane, so would you like to tell our listeners, when do you start your MBA and which school are you going to?
So I'll be starting my MBA from the University of California, San Diego, and for the fall 2022, so which is in a month's time.
Okay, great. So it's just a couple of more, I think, months to go then. All the very best, Sushane and Shrikant. Thank you so much for taking time out, both of you, and chatting with us. And I'm sure you've offered a lot of perspective to our listeners as well, who are aspiring to go and study abroad, and to parents as well, who can, you know, take away from your insights and your learnings and plan things accordingly. Thank you, guys.